Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
Welcome, welcome to Verkay Radio, iHeartRadio, coming out of New York City, the Power Woman. This is Michael Muse. Get your business right. And you know what? I am Mr. Broadcastpreneur, a.k.a. the Fearless Coach. And you know, when it comes to life, there are some people who live in fear and those who fight fear head on. And you know what? I have a young lady today. She is phenomenal in everything she's been doing. She's been speaking, writing. I was going to say write books. I'm sorry, publish books. So please, I stand corrected. And you know what? She has an amazing story to share. And I'm excited about what she is doing. And she is having such an impact on everyone who she is meeting. So I want to introduce everyone to the one, the only, Ms. Dorma McGruder.
Good afternoon. Noon, my goodness, Mike, that's an amazing introduction. You make me want to go back and try again. Thank you. This is amazing. Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to meet you. And knowing just the portions of your story that I know, you certainly are more amazing than I am. I applaud you for what you have conquered. I applaud you for what you have allowed God to do with you.
Well, you know what, Dorma? I'm excited because, see, that lets me know I'm in a company of an achiever, an overcomer, and someone looking who is a world changer. And you look like one of those people.
Oh my goodness, I receive all of that, yes. I receive all of that. Thank you. I'm humbled by that. Thank you.
So let's jump right into it, Dorma.
Yes.
How did you first start writing?
I first started writing because I was in an abusive relationship. I didn't know I was battered because he never hit me. It was financial, sexual, mental, emotional, and I thought I was so desperate I had to have him. Not I had to have a man, but I had to have him. And I started my very successful word processing service in Detroit area. I could type 150 words a minute.
Okay.
And things were going well. And he came in and I felt in my heart, this is the one. But my gut and my spirit told me, no, God told me, get away from him. And I ended up with him telling me, I just got back from California and my daughter needs help. And so I'm, at that point, I'm earning anywhere from $350 a day to up to $1,700 a day.
That's right.
And he was asking me for money, and I felt like I had to give him money because I felt like that was the only way that he would love me. And so giving him money wasn't buying breakfast or lunch or dinner. It was paying rent, paying car notes and things like that. And when I knew anything, I had allowed him to move in with me, and I was allowing him to continue to take advantage of me. And he was very cruel, and I was so ashamed that I wasn't telling anybody, but those who loved me, they could see the signs. I was gaining weight, losing weight. I had lost my hair, and I had all these black circles around my eyes. I looked horrible. And my heart was broken. My spirit was broken. And he was telling me I was doing what I was supposed to do. Well, I was too ashamed to try and get out of the relationship. And actually, I was too afraid to, because when I tried to get out of it, his responses to me were, you know you will never get away from me. You do too many things for me. You do things for me that nobody else can do. And there was never any romance. There was never any lovemaking. It was 10 years of rape. He would just grab me when he came in, and 2 minutes later it was over. And he laughed, and it was funny. And I'm ashamed because I've given up my relationship with my God, my relationship with my families. I'm losing my clients, had to close my business. And I had had enough. I was tired of being afraid. I was tired of suffering like that. I was tired of all of that pain. And so I said, well, let me end it all. And so I got my Tylenol 4, my Darvocet, and my sleeping pills. And I put them on the table in the dining room, and I crawled up under my dining room table. And I said, God, you've got to help me. I'm ready to die. And I wanted to die, not so much because I wanted death, But I didn't see any other way to end the pain. And I said, Lord, you promised to be with me. I remembered God's word to me. And I remembered what God promised me in his word. And I remembered that I'm the daughter of a nurse and a Marine. I'm the daughter of some very strong people. We come from very strong people, Michael. We come from those who survived when they were supposed to die. And so as I laid there and as I prayed, I said, God, you've got to help me. You've got to help me with this. And I felt something. I confessed my sin, and I felt something like a black bowling ball pass out of my body. And for the first time in 10 years, I was able to breathe. And so I got up, I crawled over to my computer, and I started typing, and I started typing, and I was just getting the pain out, getting the pain out. And then I realized this will help someone, and that birthed one bad decision. One bad decision put me in hell, and one good decision got me out. I was able to get away. And once I was able to get away, I was able to recognize my value. And I was able to recognize that I can serve other people. And as a result of me publishing my book and telling my story and bearing my soul and being completely transparent, women from as close as Highland Park and as far away as the Philippines have been blessed and helped and have ended their relationships. And when I had the honor of speaking at the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History for the Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers, a gentleman walked up to me and he said, Dorma, I want to apologize to you. I said, for what? He said, I have been treating my wife and my daughter like he was treating you. And I'm sorry, and I'm not going to do it anymore. So it's helping to change the lives of men and women, and it's helping to change the lives of women at all levels. I always believed that domestic abuse was at only the lower levels, that you have to be a drug addict, but there are multimillionaires who are women who are being abused, and they've read my book, and when I go and I speak to them, I'm able to encourage them and let them know that they're not alone and that they're valuable and we're priceless. We have to love ourselves enough to make those changes. That's the long answer as to how I started writing.
Well, Dorma, let's dial it back for a quick second.
Sure.
When you got to that point where you realized that you needed to leave,
yes,
that relationship,
yes,
what was that process you were going through mentally?
The process I was going through mentally was part of me was still saying, but I need him. Nobody else will love me, because he had convinced me that nobody else would ever love me. And when a person gets your mind, they've got you. We have to remember, slight digression here, we have to remember everything that Adolf Hitler did was legal. Okay? That was legal. When a person gets your mind, they've got you. He could not have done what he did if he had not convinced a few people that what he was doing was okay. So he had my mind, and he convinced me that nobody else would love me, that I wasn't worthy of the better things in life. I wasn't worthy of the good things that I had started out with, that I deserved, and I was had to be forced to give it all to him. And when I recognized, no, I am better than this, and not in a vain way, but I began to go back into my Bible and into my heart and into my life, not only because God said that I'm worthy, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, but I knew the sacrifices that I had made, and I'd earned my success, and I had no right to give it away and throw it away just because. But I was afraid. I was afraid to leave. He never hit me, but he threatened me. They were veiled threats, and I didn't know what would happen. And it turned out, he kept telling me, I've never hit a woman in my life, but I'm ready to hit you. But it turned out, I discovered after I left the relationship, that I was the only woman he had never beat. So you never know what a person will do. And I just didn't want it anymore. I didn't want any more of that suffering. I recognized that I'm a queen, and that's what I deserve. And if a man doesn't treat me like a queen, that's fine. Dorma has to treat Dorma like a queen. And that means coming out of the painful place.
Dorma, that is powerful.
Yes.
Being in that place to know.
Yes.
That you were mentally being beaten down.
Yes. Forced to give up my money. When I closed my business, went and found a job as an independent contracting typist. Because again, 150 words a minute, back then it wasn't hard to find a job. And I was bringing home maybe $1,000 a week, and he was forcing me to give it all to him. What was I working for? I could, and out of that money, I had to give it to him, pay the bills, take care of wherever we were living, and that was not what God wanted, and that was not what I deserved. And So it had to stop. And because I made the decision to start it, I had to stop it. And God would respond to what I would do. And I knew that. And so I gave God something to work with, me leaving, me making that decision to leave.
Wow. That is powerful, Dorma.
Yes.
That is powerful. I'm just glad that you were able to see where your worth is.
Yes, absolutely.
And, absolutely. And how did that feel? Once you got to that point, you realized that your worth and what God had planned for you was so much bigger than him or anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
How did that feel?
It was like a weight was lifted off of my shoulders. But I still had some fear. I went to my mother's house and I shook for 3 days in the bed because I was so afraid that he was going to find me and just hurt my family and hurt me. But I was away, and it was a process of gradual freedom. Every day I felt better. Every hour I felt better. And I started making love to me. When I say I started making love to me, I mean I started thinking better, reading better, feeling better, living better, loving me better. Those things that I used to do for myself, I started doing them again. And I recognized in my heart and in my mind, I am 28 karat gold.
That's right. And so from that experience, that's what sparked One Bad Decision.
That is what created One Bad Decision. And there are some other parts in there that talk about some things. I call it truthful fiction, and publishers wanted it, but they wanted to change it because they said I couldn't put autobiography and fiction in one volume. And I said, this is creativity. There is no right and wrong as long as it's not offensive. And as a result, I have a book that is set in Detroit, and Detroit is home. And she started her business. Her name is Jacqueline. And just like Ford Motor Company recently bought the train station, that's what Jacqueline did. I bought the train station. After I got out of that relationship, I soared. And in my heart and in my spirit, there still have come some times since then that have been difficult for me, but nothing as difficult as that, which has prompted additional books. I have one, Thank God for Closed Doors. And we always, Mike, you know, we always thank God for the open doors.
Yes.
What do we talk about in church? Oh, God opened a door for me. God, I had to learn to thank God for the closed doors because every door in my life was closing. And there was nothing for me. And it wasn't until God closed all of those doors that I found out what a blessing the closed doors are, because then he began to lead me to the open doors, i.e. Michael Muse and others who have allowed me to share my story, but to help others to conquer and to win. Because I don't say survival is good. Survival is necessary. And I take nothing away from anyone who is surviving. But in my mind, if an individual is homeless, they're surviving. That's not bad, but if that's the best they can do, they're surviving.
That's right.
But conquering. The Bible says more than a conqueror, and I didn't know the definition of that until I recognized conquerors are people who have steady paying jobs, good relationships, good children, a whole lot of money. They are conquerors, and they get up and they serve God. They're conquerors. That's wonderful. But the person that's more than a conqueror is the Dorma Magruder who sometimes has to decide between, okay, I'm low in gas money. Do I go to church or do I stay home and work? What do I do? I'm still serving God. I'm still worshiping God. I'm still praying for people, doing the best that I can. With little to no money, I'm more than a conqueror. And that prompted, thank God for closed doors. Because through those closed doors, I discovered that God has greater things for me, starting inside of me. And that is a marvelous feeling.
And you know what? Let's dig a little deeper into the thank God for closed doors.
Yes.
Because that's definitely the opposite of what we hear from church jargon.
Yes.
We hear God opening doors.
Oh, yes, he opened doors for me. Yes, yes.
So let's talk about this. Let's talk about, can you bring up one closed door?
Oh.
I want you to bring just one that to you it looked good, it smelled good, it felt good. Everything about that door for you seemed right. Matter of fact, it seems so right that you believe God gave it to you.
Absolutely.
Give us an example of that one door.
One door, I have to give you three because they were all in that same 2-week period. I was laid off from my job, but I said, this is okay because now I'll be able to write and speak full time. And so I'm going to get $18,000 in my lump sum 401k, and I just bought a brand new 2013 Chrysler 200, and I was going to do it. All of those doors, that was great. That was perfect. However, when I got laid off, I didn't get a severance package. My 401 was cut to $11,000 because Michigan takes out tax, and my car was repossessed, and I had no money left, and Boehner cut unemployment. So those doors that I knew were perfect shut all within the same week.
Mm.
And because of those doors closing, and there were others that kept closing, that was when I discovered Dorma. I went back to my Bible, and Gideon, when God called Gideon, and when God called Moses, and when God called Mike, and when God called Dorma, and when God called President Obama, and when God called Mary McLeod Bethune, and when God called so many, he told us all to do the same thing. Use what you have and start with that. What's in your hand? Dorma, what do you have to work with? You've got something. God gave you something. All these doors are closed, but you're not alone. God gave you something. And because all of those doors shut, I was able to start writing more, start speaking more, start helping more, start praying more. I do recorded prayers on CD and prayers on MP3, where people can go to my website and they can click on the prayer and download the prayer and the scriptures. I think there's 12 on there now, and I add new ones every week. And you can click on that prayer and download it to your telephone or your iPad, and you've got prayer with you wherever you go. You don't have to call an 800 number. You can just listen, and they're tailored for specific needs, for cancer, for healing, for depression, whatever it is. And God began to really allow me to function in my creative space. And I still don't punch a clock. I still don't know all the time where money is coming from. But God is so good to me.
That's right.
Because of all of those closed doors that looked perfect. I knew it was going to work out. Mm-mm. It didn't work out. God had something bigger and better.
Well, you know, Norma, it's that time in the show for us to take a break.
All right.
You're with Verkay Radio, iHeartRadio. The Power of Woman. This is Get Your Business Right with Michael Muse. And I have the lovely, talented Dorma Magruder. And she's just discussing on how them closed doors allow her to grow her faith, grow her tenacity, and to be a positive impact other people's lives.
Yes.
Let's jump into this next book, because you're talking about some fire here. You say fire, faith, and favor.
Fire,
the
faith,
three
and favor.
F's.
The three F's.
That's
the
right, three F's.
Fire, faith, and favor is an extension of one bad decision. In one bad decision, I talk about what happened to me, and I talk about a little bit of how things got a little better. But fire, faith, and favor goes deeper. It talks about what happened, what led up to several situations, and how I had nothing but my faith, and I discovered what faith really is in this process. And then God's favor is the only thing that has kept me. So my fire was trying to consume me, and my faith reached out. And God showed me his favor, and they all worked together. And in fire, faith, and favor, I share with my readers and listeners exactly what Bible verses I used, what sermons I listened to, what books I read, how I prayed, and how God is bringing me through the fire with my faith and letting me walk in his favor. Yes. It's a journey, but it's different, and it's a blessing. Faith is not saying, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know what's going to happen. Faith is not when, and I've been in this position I'm getting ready to describe, but faith is not discovering that you're going to get paid next Friday, and you've got a couple of late bills. Oh, you know what? God is going to work it out. But you know you're getting a check next Friday. That's not faith. That's knowledge. Faith is when DTE is on their way to turn your lights off. And you've got a $1,200 light bill because it has accumulated. And you have no money and have no money coming in. And you have $150. And it is the Friday before Labor Day, which means they're going to be closed on Monday. And your sister, who God laid you on her heart, came and picked you up, took you grocery shopping, and let you spend about $200 on food. You come home and you put it in the freezer and you open your mail and you discover that your lights are going to be cut off that day and it's 4:45. That's faith. That's when I had to stop crying, got on the phone. Long story short, I called DTE. The lady said, Dorma, you have to stop crying. She put me on hold and she said, okay, I've turned the truck around. Now here's what we're going to do. She accepted $50 and put the rest of the $1,200 on the bill, and I didn't have to pay another light bill until November. That is faith and favor.
Yes, it is.
Fire, faith, and favor. And that's just one of the many incidents in that book where I share with people who are going through fire, who need to know what faith is. Faith is just holding on, and when you wake up and realize that you don't have what you need, or you think you don't have what you need, and you say, Lord, you know what I need, and you know where I am, and so I'm trusting you to make the way, and God makes the way.
That's powerful right there. Hey, let's talk about this next one. Secret bleeding.
Secret bleeding. Most people that I know in my circle, and people, famous people that I don't know, most of us have some secret bleeding going on. There's a difference between private and secret. We hear of celebrities having private weddings. That means that other people were not invited. But when it's secret, nobody knows about it. And a lot of us are secretly bleeding. And Dorma has been secretly bleeding because of things that her mother said to her, things that her father said to her.
Right.
And my parents have been dead for years, but these were things that were said when I was a little girl. Things that siblings said to me, things that ex-boyfriends said, things that many people have said, things that have been done to me, people who have stolen things from me. And I'm still bleeding from that. And I realized it. I realized the severity of the blood loss when I was sitting somewhere and I wanted to cry, but I was too hurt to cry. And someone said something to me and it tore another wound open. And I got home and I got to my computer and I started typing and I said, I'm secretly bleeding. I love to cook, especially desserts, peach cobbler, apple cobbler, banana pudding, sweet potato cobbler.
Uh-oh, we're going to find out today.
And when you cook, on occasion you cut yourself. Or if you're working in an office and you get a paper cut, you cut yourself. And sometimes when people get in a fight, they're cut, they're stabbed, or they're shot. But they don't know it because the only thing that hurts is the cut. After you cut your finger, even if you're still bleeding, you don't hurt anymore. Until the cut heals, you still don't hurt anymore. But the bleeding kills you. Because the bleeding is loss of blood. And loss of blood is loss of life, loss of strength, loss of spirit, loss of power. And there have been things in my life, hearing conversations I wasn't supposed to hear, seeing things that they didn't know that I saw, that caused me to begin to bleed. And I discovered I'm secretly bleeding. And it's time to stop secretly bleeding because strength and life are being drained out of me. When we have pain, we go and we get something over the counter or prescription, and we take enough to stop the pain. But when you are weak, you kind of don't know what to do, and you don't even realize you're weak until it happens over a period of time. And when I'm secretly bleeding, I'm being drained, and it's having a spillover effect because if I'm secretly bleeding because of something that Mama said when I was 5 that I still remember over these 50 years later, I'm still bleeding and I'm still hurting and I'm silently screaming. I'm sitting and I'm silently screaming. And then when I began to talk to others about this, there are people who are going through the same thing. And so with secret bleeding, now revealing it and revealing that we have some secret bleeding and revealing that there is some silent screaming, now we can begin our private healing, which means that other people will know about it, but it will still be something that is done behind closed doors, and we will privately begin to heal.
So, Dorma, what are three ways a person can stop the secret bleeding?
First of all, admit it. Take your time and go into your head and into your heart where it first started. It didn't start today. It didn't start yesterday. And you may have more than one wound, okay? So the first thing you have to do is find out where it started. Then acknowledge that the cut is over. You've been cut and you're not going to be cut anymore by that person or by that situation. And then after you discover that, you have to pray about it, and then you have to make up your mind. When you make up your mind that this is not going to hurt you anymore, you'd be surprised at how tall you can stand. My daddy was a Marine, and I appreciate all servicemen, but they tell me that the Army, Navy, Air Force, National Guard, and Coast Guard are soldiers, but Marines are Marines, and you stand tall like a Marine because the Marines go in and make the way for everybody else. You recognize it. You admit it. You accept that it happened, you don't blame yourself, and then you make up your mind that you're gonna stop this bleeding, whether it is with stitches or whether it's going to be an amputation, you stop it. You arrest it right where it is, and you don't regret the bleeding, because some of the secret emotional bleeding we embrace because it feels good. It feels better to wallow than it does to fight.
So, Dorma, what are some ways a person can stop embracing?
Make up your mind. That's the first thing. That's the biggest weapon you have is your mind. And if you have the wherewithal to think about it, you have the wherewithal and the determination not to think about it, because everything is a decision. You have, when we talk about the sides, decide, suicide, homicide, each one of those is a breaking away, a cutting away. When you decide to do something, you decide not to do something else. So with secret bleeding, you decide that you're not going to bleed anymore. And when you decide that you're not going to bleed anymore, you take that wound and you commit homicide to that wound, in that you kill it in your mind. That's the homicide that's taking away. And then as a result of killing it and committing homicide in your mind, you have taken it and turned it into a suicide of itself. You've made it kill itself. And I know that sounds odd and strange. I deal with that in that book. But you make up your mind that you're not going to do it. And make up your mind you deserve to live and deserve to have joy and deserve to be better.
That's
and
right.
If your joy is going to Belle Isle watching the water or going to Hart Plaza,
yes,
or sitting and watching television or eating your banana pudding, whatever it is that brings you joy, that's what you do. And you begin to heal yourself. When you let that kind of stuff go, you start healing from the inside out. And that's the best kind of healing.
And let's jump into this last book, 1 Million Seconds.
1 Million Seconds is the sequel to One Bad Decision. The main character in One Bad Decision, it is based on me, but her name is Jacqueline. And there were some interesting things that happened in One Bad Decision that I am not going to share with our listeners. They will have to buy the book. 1 Million Seconds is the continuation of a major decision that Jacqueline made, and she has 1 million seconds, which comes out to 11 days, to make a decision that will change the world.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Dorma, yes, you have definitely shared some eye-dropping, heart-wrenching. You have truly shared the tips on how to conquer ourselves. And that's what we want at the end of the day.
Yes.
We want to be able to conquer our emotions. We want to conquer all those things that we embrace.
Yes. That are negative. That are making us
exactly
bleed, making us hurt.
All that past hurt from our childhood and how we were raised. We want to get to that place where it has no effect on us.
It has no effect. It was a closed door. It's done. It's not coming back. And whatever purpose it served, even if you never know what purpose it served, let it go. Because you can't think about more than one thing at one time. And if you're giving energy to that, then you're not giving energy to your present or to your future or how you're going to serve humanity, and most importantly, how you're going to serve you. The reason the man on the Jericho Road was able to be helped by the Good Samaritan is because the Good Samaritan took care of his own needs first. That's why he was able to go and pay the hotel bill and pay for the doctor and all of that. So we have to learn to take care of ourselves first. And that's what you do. When you can stop that bleeding, you can heal you first.
That's right. Well, you know, Adorma, we have came to that time here where we have so much more to talk about.
Yes, we do.
And we just scratching the surface. So we definitely have to get you back here.
I will be honored.
Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? How could the audience get in contact with you to get these awesome books you have?
The books are on One Bad Decision and Thank God for Closed Doors are on Amazon. And if they go to my website, DormaMcGruder.com, DormaMcGruder.com, or they can call me 313-282-3382, and I would be honored to listen, to pray with, and they can see what other products I have on my site. I have prayers on MP3 that they can download on their phone and listen to, and they can get the books and find out what I'm up to and where I am and where I'm going and how I can serve them.
Dorma, that is powerful. I want to thank you again for coming on, sharing your insight, sharing your wisdom, sharing your journey. And I'm honored to be in the company of an overcomer, an achiever, and a world changer for God. I'm just tickled to life right now. I don't want to say tickled to death, but
no,
tickled to life. Tickled to life right
yes.
now. So I want to thank you so much for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, you know who I am. I am Mr. Broadcastpreneur, a.k.a. the Fearless Coach.
Yes.
In New York City, coming from VerK Radio. This is Get Your Business Right Show. We thank you, because without you, there is no me.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more.
Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.